Do you want to go green and save energy, but don't know what to do first? It's time for Energize Green with home improvement guru Ask Andrea, Andrea Rideout, and Dan the Solar Man Lipinski. They'll set you straight on the road to keen, green, and energy lean. And now, here are your hosts, Andrea Rideout and Dan Lipinski.
So glad to be here today. We are going to have a great hour for you. I'm, of course, Andrea Rideout, and I've got Dan right here by my side. Dan, the
Fastest
Solar Man.
Boy, do we have solar in some places here in the country.
Yes, it's a beautiful day. Hopefully, it's beautiful where everyone within our listening area is listening today. Hopefully, it's just as pretty as it is here. And we're so tickled. We've got a great show coming up for you where we're going to be talking about organic gardening, including a really neat project called a keyhole garden that just about anybody can do right in your own backyard. We've got Dr. Deb Tolman coming on. She is a wonderful gal. She's from Portland, Oregon. I kind of jokingly call her the worm lady because it helps all my friends remember who she is, but she's just neat. She's really into worms and organic gardening, building a straw bale house, just a little bit of everything, and Deb's going to be joining us in just a minute. But first, Dan, I know we have an event coming up at Elliott's Hardware, and I wanted you to have a chance to mention that.
We're going to be down at Elliott's Hardware here in August.
And it's coming up August 29th.
August 29th,
that's
Saturday.
Right. And that's the Maple Avenue store.
In this case, it's the Dallas Recycling Program.
That's right. It is the City of Dallas Recycling Roundup, Saturday, August 29th. And it's at 4901 Maple Avenue, which is the Elliott's Hardware store right there at Maple Avenue and Medical District Drive. And you can take just about anything, televisions, electronic items, tires, all sorts of things.
Paper, plastic, fluorescent lights.
You can visit energizegreen.com. We've got a link there to the City of Dallas site where you can find out more about it, what you can take and what you can't, because there are a few can'ts. For instance, you can't take paint or household chemicals.
So, not this time.
Yeah, not this time. So visit energizegreen.com. Find out all about the City of Dallas Recycling Roundup there at Elliott's Hardware on August 29th. Well, I tell you what, why don't we just jump right in with Deb Tolman?
I'm looking forward to it. I want to learn a little bit more about this keyhole garden.
Well, I think we're going to learn more about it. Dr. Deb, how are you?
Hey, Andrea. Hey, Danny.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
How are the worms doing?
And the worms are doing great. I just harvested a handful of them and passed them off to a friend the other day.
Oh,
who?
Wow.
Put them into her keyhole garden.
Do you know, I have a lot of friends who are getting into worms, and they are like pets. These people talk to their worms.
Yeah. That is a problem.
Yes.
That is a problem. We really want them to do work for us.
We're going to start seeing counselors who are counseling people who are getting too green, do you think? It's going to be the new psychology.
I definitely think so.
You're originally from Texas, right?
No, originally from Maine.
Oh, originally from Maine. Okay, but you went to Texas A&M.
I did go to Texas A&M. Uh-huh.
So we consider you a Texan.
Oh, thank you.
And then,
I can deal with the heat. How about that?
That's for sure. And then you moved up to Portland and wrote a book and moved back to Texas.
That's right.
And we're just tickled to have you in Clifton, Texas. And I want to talk a little bit. We've just got a couple minutes here. If you can give us one or two quick tips on gardening in Texas in this heat.
Gardening in this heat is a little bit problematic, but no more than any place else in the country. All we do is we just put a little bit of shade or we bank the garden up underneath a spreading live oak where it can get shade from about 2 o'clock on. So if you're a little bit wise about where you set up the garden, you actually don't even have to add any shade. But a lot of things can take this sun, as long as they're mulched and they're getting some adequate water.
And how big are you on the xeriscaping, or as our friend Dale Green likes to say, water-wise landscaping, where you choose plants that require almost no water?
How big am I?
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's huge. I'm real big on it.
It is very smart. Yeah, it is.
I think it's just a way of making work and gardening a little easier for us.
Okay, so say you've chosen plants, though, that maybe aren't water-wise. The whole idea of banking them up and getting a little bit more depth there so that they stay moisture is going to help a lot.
That's right. You mean actually providing more soil?
Providing more soil.
Mm-hmm. Well, or like in our case, when we bought our home, everything was already there, and it just drinks water like a sponge.
That's right. And a lot of times we think of the easiest thing to do, and that's just mulching. Mulch, mulch, mulch. I have mulch everywhere that's at least a foot deep.
And that helps considerably to hold that moisture in.
Oh, yeah. That helps a lot.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Deb Tolman. And we're also going to be chatting a little bit with another good friend who is in the gardening business. He is known as Tropical John. That'll be later on during Energize Green. And we're going to be just getting into all kinds of things. Dr. Deb, I know we're going to jump right into keyhole gardening, which is one of your favorite projects, right?
Yes, it is. It's an African model.
An African model. All right. And folks, if you want to follow along, we've put some links there on Energize Green, energizegreen.com. You can visit right there and see all about keyhole gardening and maybe kind of decide if this is a project you want to do in your own backyard. What do you think, Dan?
I would like to start it. We've got an organic garden, and Lisa's already saying she needs to make it a little bit smaller.
Well, you're going to love this because it's not only smaller, but it produces more. So kind of an inverse. It's a win-win-win all the way around. And we'll be back with more Energize Green in just a moment.
Start your day with CNN 1190 AM Headline News with all the top news and business stories, plus Nancy Grace Live.
We just heard from Ricky Kleeman about people surrounding her.
Okay.
I'd like to finish.
And Showbiz Tonight. Stay informed and in tune with the world of news, business, sports, and entertainment with CNN 1190 Headline News.
Classic Super Roof, Roofs of Steel, has been in business since 1992. Don't allow the Texas weather to get the best of you. Protect your home with a metal roof and not like your granddad's. Get a Girard stone-coated steel roof that looks like thick cedar shakes or ceramic clay tiles. You can also have that Austin Hill Country look with their standing seam Mueller roofing panels. Call today or visit the website at superroof.com. There's a Super Roof near you, weathering the Texas storms.
Hi, this is Andrea Rideout, and I wanted to tell you about a fantastic deal going on right now at Elliott's Hardware. Through a special purchase, Elliott's is offering Energy Star rated compact fluorescent light bulbs at the incredible price of 99 cents. Don't settle for cheap imitations. These are premium grade UL approved CFLs with an average life of 10,000 hours. They'll cast a soft, warm white light all over your home. Choose from a 13 watt or a hefty 23 watt and save from just under $50 to over $75 over the life of the bulb when compared to an old-fashioned incandescent. At just 99 cents each, they're an incredible deal, but only while supplies last. So hurry into Elliott's and get some today. That's Elliott's Hardware at Maple and Medical District Drive in Dallas, Coit and Park in Plano, or Kearney and East Galloway in Mesquite. 99-cent compact fluorescent light bulbs. Wow, that's energizing. Elliott's Hardware, making hardware easy. And now Elliott's is your store for going green.
Thanks a lot.
What?
When my company downsized and I got let go, I thought, I'll take a mini vacation, lay around, watch TV for a few weeks. But you said, start looking right away. It's hard to find work.
Well, it can be, especially in this economy.
It wasn't with DFWHelpWanted.com.
Oh, boy.
No sooner do I post my resume, sit down with a bag of cheese puffs, and bingo bango, I have a bunch of interviews for great jobs.
Because you're a very talented guy.
Who's never going to eat cheese puffs and watch TV all day. Thanks, DFWHelpWanted.com.
Long name, amazing results.
On CNN 1190. It's your money, your retirement with Brian Tillotson. To trust someone with your money is to trust them with your future. Join Brian every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 as he will help transform your long-term financial goals and dreams into realities. Start planning your financial future today. Go to virtuswealth.com. That's V-I-R-T-U-S wealth.com. And be sure to tune into Your Money, Your Retirement with Brian Tillotson Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 on CNN 1190.
You're listening to Energize Green with Andrea Rideout and Dan the Solar Man Lipinski. Brought to you by Elliott's Hardware, right here on CNN 1190.
Welcome to today's show. We've got a terrific hour coming up for you. Dr. Deb Tolman is going to be talking about organic gardening and an incredible project called a keyhole garden, which is very easy to do right in your own backyard. Tropical John is going to join us later on in the show about how to build the perfect compost pile. And then at the end of today's show, we will have another Green Thoughts essay from our friend Melissa Schultz.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to know more about these keyhole gardens.
Well, you're going to love this, Dan. I tell you what, let's bring Dr. Deb on. Dr. Deb Tolman, welcome to Energize Green.
Thank you. you, Andrea, and Dan.
Well, we're happy to have you. Now, I know you're originally or kind of up there in the Portland, Oregon area. You were a university teacher up there, right?
That's right, at Portland State University.
Oh, okay, terrific. Tell us a little bit about this guide that you had written. I just love the thing, and I know listeners today are going to want to find out where they can get one.
The Portland State University had me teaching a class the geography department, natural resources management, and I thought it would just be a really cool thing to do to have the students work together collaboratively on a natural resource project. And I thought it would be really nice to have a feather in their cap that when they stepped out of a university, they would have on their resume that they had published a book. And we called it a field guide. It's actually a guide to green living, so it's sustainable tips around the house, in the house, with regard to six different natural resources: soil, air, clean water. And it was great. Of course, two students decided to stay with me on that project 2 years later.
We finished
editing the thing in its completion. And then Metro, the Tri-County Metropolitan Government up there, actually took it and reproduced about 200 more that they passed out to a lot of their employees and around town. So anyway, that's actually been the beginning of a long line of green guides for each specific city that I tend to land at. And so Asheville, North Carolina was another one. It's, of course, not with the students. And then Central Texas or Bosque County will be the next one. I'm working on that one right now.
Fantastic. And I had an opportunity to look at your Portland guide and just loved it because you guys really addressed several things that I'd never even thought of. Can you give us a couple of the tips that are out of your Portland guide or the new one that you just did in North Carolina?
Oh, my gosh. Well, they're considered sustainable and because they're very specific to the town. So, for instance, Portland is big on, I'm trying to draw a distinction between Asheville, North Carolina, and Portland.
Here, I've got a question for you that might help.
Okay.
In dealing with all the rain up there in Portland, does that influence the way that you say with rainwater collection and so forth, as opposed to, say, North Carolina?
Yes, because we have 5 months of drought in Portland.
You always think of it as green and wet and everything else. You always think of Oregon as being rainy. You have 5 months of drought?
That's right. Well, it's 7 months of rain, and so we do get a fair amount of rain during the winter, but during the summer it's quite dry. And so the rainwater collection comes in as a supplemental watering to the landscape. You know, the water that we use as a household, 50% of that goes to landscape needs for watering lawns, for watering plants, for watering gardens. And so any kind of supplemental watering that you can provide to the landscape is huge. It's a great savings. Now, in Asheville, So that would be a great one to draw an analogy on. In Portland, Oregon, one of the problems with rain barrels or rainwater collection is how do you capture all that rain during the 7 months? That's very difficult. So something that was some tip in that Green Living Guide, and there were 240 of them, may address how to deal with that rainwater collection during the 7 months of the year that Asheville doesn't have to worry about.
Because they have a more normal rainy and then sunny and then rainy and sunny. Right.
That's right. So you see the storage capacity might have to be larger in Portland.
Okay, and that's excellent. I've been seeing so many new products on the rainwater collection arena. I mean, one of the neatest ones, Dan, and you and I saw this recently at the Green Show here in Dallas, is the underhouse bladders that are just a great idea. You know, you have all that crawl space underneath your house, and these are huge bladders that fill up with water. And it's a wonderful way of utilizing space that is absolutely wasted, and, you know, it doesn't take up any extra space in your home.
Or in our case, I used to actually surprise you. I used to live in Vancouver, right across from Portland, in our deck.
Oh!
Hi, North Portland.
Wow.
And our deck was made of wood, and there was a big empty space underneath it where the bladder would have fit and everything else. And all the water would have normally just run out into the yard. You put the bladder underneath it. It doesn't use up any space in the yard, yet you've got the water for later.
That's brilliant. And listeners, if you just dropped in on us, you're listening to Energize Green. I'm Andrea Rideout with
Dan Lipinski.
The Solar Man. That's right. And we've got Dr. Deb Tolman with us today. Deb is an environmental scientist and a physical geographer. photographer, actually, from Portland State University. She recently moved down here to Texas, and she's doing some work all around the country. So listeners, if you're from Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Maine, Dr. Deb is somebody that can relate to you and vice versa. And now you were telling us you're from Maine, right?
That's right, I am. Portland, Maine. Exactly.
Portland, Maine, that's right. And I have a daughter up there this summer who is working on a green schooner. It's called the J&E Riggin, and it's out of Rockland, Maine. And it's actually an all-wood vessel that was built in the 20s. And the couple that owns it is super-duper green, Deb. You'd love them. But when you get on the boat, I'm telling you, you are inundated with recycling, composting, everything. They absolutely have no room for anything that's not green. So it's a really neat little, what would you call that? A
little microcosm.
Microcosm, thank you. Microcosm of green living.
But it's its own floating green laboratory.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and it absolutely is. Well, let's talk a little bit about your berm house that you're working on. How's that project going?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the keyhole.
Well, we are. We're coming up to that. We got plenty of time.
I'm still doing research on it. And that's great, because things are evolving, and that's exactly the way I like it. So actually, this thing, now that I see how hot it is down here in Central Texas, guess what my biggest concern is going to be?
Air conditioning.
Insulation.
Oh, yes.
The heat. Insulation
right.
From the heat. And so that will come in the form of a green roof, and that's part of it. The other part is, if I want to capture all my rainwater, which I do, now what do I do? Or, you know, how do I reduce my footprint, but at the same time capture enough water for myself during the year? And maybe I'll have to go with the bladder mode.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun over the next year to kind of follow along as you're doing this. And listeners, if you don't know what a berm house is, this is a house built out of like hay bales, right, Deborah?
Well, this is going to be I just say in general, it's going to be a natural building. Natural built materials will make this house, and it's going to be probably a hybrid cob or straw bale.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going to use a bale house, but a berm house is always one that I've thought of as having a lot of soil around it to act as an insulating
layer. This one
layer.
Does, yeah. This one actually is built into like the side of a hill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So it's not butted up against, but it is bermed. Cob you don't want to actually have come in contact with water, so you actually make precautions for that. But it's bermed, meaning I want to be protected from the north wind as well. So I want to use every information I can get from the climate here to actually keep me from having to air condition or heat.
And we need to really get some information. We should put that up on the site, Dan, and maybe follow along your project, because I know there are listeners everywhere who want to know more about building a berm house, building a straw bale house. And you mentioned something earlier about the green roof idea. Not only are we seeing people do this in their homes, but it's phenomenal. I'm seeing so many commercial buildings with green roofs.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very smart. Can you describe in a nutshell what a green roof is?
Sure. A green roof is just an insulate. I mean, there's nothing green about it. The embodied energy that goes into putting a green roof together is actually quite massive. But it is basically a way to insulate, so that if you have something green and vegetative on this roof, then you are actually getting insulated from the heat.
I've always seen those. I've actually seen pictures. I've seen it on television. I've seen it in real life. How do you keep them watered?
How do you keep them watered?
Yes. You've got it up there on the roof. How do you keep them wet so that the plants don't die?
You don't. You actually choose, and this goes back into your water-wise plants or your xeriscaping, you choose plants that are quite drought tolerant. Now, do you water them? You can water them, because the nature of a green roof and its construction actually has very many layers to it. Part of that is very small soil depth. It has an impermeable layer. It has a root barrier. It has a roof barrier. It has all kinds of things that go together in its construction to protect your roof in general.
So you'd use plants that are just minimally water requiring in that case.
Yep, usually sedums or grasses. And that varies from different parts of the country. Wherever you are, then those drought-tolerant plants are going to be different.
Well, and this reminds me of back a few years ago, we had a house that had an ivy wall all along the west wall. It was a, you know, just straight up slab facing west, and we absolutely inundated it with ivy. And wow, what a difference. It kept the house
what
so cool.
Difference.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It really does make a big difference.
As the plant transpires, it actually cools. So it's a cooling mechanism.
Absolutely. We've got about 2 minutes before we have to take a break here, but I want to have a chance now to introduce keyhole gardening, and then we'll come back in our next segment and you can tell us all about how to do it. But can you describe for us maybe a little bit of the history of keyhole gardening and what it looks like?
Yes, I'd love to. It's not my model. It's an African model, and particularly in places on that continent that are extremely dry and extremely poor soil, I guess. And it is basically a self-watering, self-fertilizing garden. And it is circular. It's only, the science behind it is it's only 6 feet in diameter. It actually does have a keyhole, but you are using central core that is a composting basket that most of the water from your kitchen scraps, say even in something like an orange peel or a lemon peel, that's the water that actually waters your plants. And the keyhole garden, the garden itself is actually, and this is where I've popularized it, mostly in North Carolina and in Texas, is that it turns waste. It's like turning waste into gold.
Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah.
I fill it with tons of cardboard, tons of newspaper, phone books from the post office. I just got 160 phone books that were extra, and that went into a keyhole garden. It's manure, it's sawdust, it's branches, it's leaves, it's grass clippings, and all of that makes the richest soil you've ever met.
Well, and basically, I want to kind of paint a picture for listeners, but we're going to do that after we take this break. You're listening to Energize Green. I'm Andrea Rideout.
Dan Lipinski.
And we're visiting with Dr. Deb Tolman. We'll be right back.
CNN 1190 wants to hook you up. Log on to CNN1190.com and score yourself a $50 gift certificate to Spoiled Pink for only $25. It's the CNN 1190 half-price hookup only at CNN1190.com. Half-price hookups go fast, so log on now.
Want to save some money on your next energy bill? Why not start at the top with a new Cool Roof from Classic Super Roof? A Cool Roof protects your home from the top on down with a built-in radiant barrier that reflects the sun's heat to keep your home more comfortable all year long. You might also save some bucks on your homeowner's insurance because Super Roofs are super tough.
Hi, this is Andrea Rideout from Energize Green. Classic Super Roof has been installing Cool Roofs for folks across North Texas for over a decade. Super Roof's volume buying power helps them save you money without sacrificing quality. So save some dough and keep your cool with a Cool Roof from Classic Super Roof, just like I did on my own home.
Call Classic Super Roof today at Metro 817-268-1500. That's 817-268-1500. Or visit superroof.com. That's Super Roof with one R. Super Roof is the home of Texas Superdog. Woof!
Hey folks, did you know you could save up to 20% on your electric bill with the Light Up Texas program?
No.
But we'd love to save 20%.
Then call Light Up Texas at 866-454-8387, 24 hours a day, or get an application at lightuptexas.org. That's LITEUP Texas.org.
Then what?
Well, the program is for low-income Texans, so the application asks for proof of income, like a pay stub or a W-2 form.
Did you get that, Willard?
Or you can get a letter from your employer confirming employment.
That'll work.
When do we start saving?
Your savings begin 30 days after your enrollment is accepted, so hurry. The program's available now through the hot summer months. And don't forget, you'll need to reapply every year.
Can you give us that info again?
Sure. Call toll-free 1-866-454-8387 or visit lightuptexas.org.
Did you get that, Willard?
Memorized it, dear.
A message from the Public Utility Commission of Texas.
In small towns and big cities around the world, Habitat for Humanity volunteers gather. Hammers are raised, bricks are laid, and another family finds shelter in a home they help build. Habitat volunteers are changing lives for the better, and in the process, maybe even their own as well. Support the work in your community or wherever your heart leads you. Volunteer, get involved, and help build it. Visit us at habitat.org.
This is Jim Dark. Join me every Saturday afternoon for Straight Shooting, brought to you by the National Rifle Association, where we'll talk about guns, your right to keep and bear arms, and all the ways you can enjoy your American right to gun ownership. I'll have special guests from the gun industry, gun rights activists, hunting activists, and we'll be taking your calls.
Tune in this Saturday where Jim's guest will be the Motor City Madman himself, Ted Nugent. That's Straight Shooting with Jim Dark every Saturday from 3 to 4 on CNN 1190. Brought to you by the National Rifle Association.
You're listening to Energize Green with home improvement guru Ask Andrea, Andrea Rideout, and Dan the Solar Man Lipinski, right here on CNN 1190.
Welcome back to Energize Green. I'm Dan Lipinski with Andrea Rideout, and we are talking with Dr. Deb Tolman about something that is of great interest to me because I don't have a keyhole garden, and I want to know a little bit more about what it is and how you put one in where you've already got a garden in the backyard that isn't doing so well. I just don't like what we've got right now, and we can improve it, and Deb has the answer for that.
And Deb, I was going to try to paint a mental picture for our listeners who can't get on the internet. Listeners, if you can get online, visit energizegreen.com. We've got a link there and a photograph so you can see what a keyhole garden actually looks like. But basically, it's a 6-foot diameter buildup. Like Deb, I think of yours, I guess you guys used what, concrete blocks?
We did. We used a block that we had on the property. It was left over from a previous job.
And so
we did mortar it together. But the sustainable part of the keel garden is it's basically whatever you have left over.
Yeah, if you've got logs
whatever you have
or
on your property, it could be worked out of.
Exactly. So build it whatever scrap you've got, and you basically just make a big circular kind of a raised garden area with a keyhole that goes into the center so that you can walk into the center of the garden. And that
That's
way...
Right. So if you were looking at it from overhead, it would look like a wedge out of a pie.
Exactly. Just like a slice of pie has been taken out of it. And so the center, in the center of this circular thing, you have a kind of a vertical tube that's made out of what, chicken wire?
Chicken wire, but in Africa they make them out of dried cow dung. It's whatever is permeable to allow the moisture and the nutrients in that composting basket to get to the plants.
And again, it's kind of whatever you've got. If you've got some old window screen, you can use that. Anything that's kind of stiff that's going to make, I think of it like as a big tube that goes down in the center of the garden. And how deep, how tall do you typically make the garden?
We did one for wheelchair accessibility, and we made that one about a little bit right at 24 inches, so 2 feet. But the ones that I've been doing lately have been more of 28 and 30 inches, a little bit higher. It makes for an awkward situation in the wintertime because I keep this keyhole garden going all through the winter and just cover it with frost-free cover. So it makes it a little difficult to get up on top of it. So I usually say make it so that something you don't mind stepping up on or sitting on. Mid-thigh level.
So maximum of about 30 inches probably then would be perfect. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So it's a 6-foot diameter circle made out of, I'm just going to simplify it and say we're going to make it out of concrete blocks.
Or anything you've got.
Or anything you've got. And have a pie slice out of that circle. And then in the center, it's got a sort of a wire vertical tubular basket. And into that goes all your waste. So you fill.
Kitchen
scraps.
That's right.
Not the meat.
Deb, you use meat, don't you?
I do, but we're not supposed to say.
We don't. Okay, so most people don't use meat. That's
right. Yes.
Okay, no meat. All right, so anything organic. And then you fill up this keyhole garden area with stuff and then top it with soil. Is that where you're using your phone books?
Right. I was using the phone books in the biggest part of the garden, not in the chicken wire.
Right, just fill it up with whatever you can that's kind of organic that can decompose and become part of this huge compost blend, basically, and then your plants are going to be planted into that, right?
That's right. And what I usually tell folks, just save your best soil for the very top. By the time your plants or your seeds get established, then stuff down in the bottom of that keyhole garden will already have started to accumulate moisture and decompose. And so it'll be by the time the plant gets large enough to actually get its roots down there, everything will be fine. And it'll be very peaty, because That is the nature of the compost. You might tell your listeners, or you might suggest, that the reason for the wedge out of the pie is to access that central kitchen composting basket, so it's easier just to get to. So all of this is very easy to get to once you have a garden. I mean, there's no bending over. That is so sweet. That is,
yeah, absolutely. And particularly for older folks, it's just a wonderful way to garden, and it's a terrific time saver too, because it just makes it a whole lot easier and a whole lot more fun for kids, older folks, Dan, mid-age folks like you and I. I think it's just a blast. And Deb, you are wonderful to be spreading around all these great ideas about keyhole gardening. We've put some terrific links there on the energizedgreen.com site. You can find out all about Dr. Deb, keyhole gardening. Send us some emails if you have any questions. And I think we're pretty well done. What do you think, Deb?
I think that sounds great.
All right. Well, come back soon, okay? Don't stay away so long. We'd love to have you back on and find out how the berm house is coming along.
Okay, thanks.
Send
us some pictures.
All right.
Okay, and we'll be back with more Energized Green in just a moment.
On CNN 1190, it's Everything Internet with Ed Frazier and Lisa McKibben. The Internet is your gateway to success. Don't get lost in cyberspace. Join Ed and Lisa every Saturday from 1 to 2 as they show you the way to making a net profit with a net presence. Turn today's technology into tomorrow's success. Tune in to Everything Internet with Ed Frazier and Lisa McKibben. Saturday from 1 to 2 on CNN 1190.
Hi, this is Andrea Rideout, and I wanted to tell you about a fantastic deal going on right now at Elliott's Hardware. Through a special purchase, Elliott's is offering Energy Star rated compact fluorescent light bulbs at the incredible price of 99 cents. Don't settle for cheap imitations. These are premium grade UL approved CFLs with an average life of 10,000 hours. They'll cast a soft, warm white light all over your home. Choose from a 13 watt or a hefty 23 watt and save from just under $50 to over $75 over the life of the bulb when compared to an old-fashioned incandescent. At just 99 cents each, they're an incredible deal, but only while supplies last. So hurry into Elliott's and get some today. That's Elliott's Hardware at Maple and Medical District Drive in Dallas, Coit and Park in Plano, or Kearney and East Galloway in Mesquite. 99 cent compact fluorescent light bulbs. Wow, that's energizing. Elliott's Hardware, making hardware easy. And now Elliott's is your store for going green.
Great. Now the record labels are going to Congress for a handout.
I know. And they want Congress to take the money from local radio stations.
Taking money out of our community and sending it to foreign-owned companies? I'm calling Congress, and you should too. Learn more at noperformancetax.org. Have you seen today's paper? I'm so tired of all these companies going to Congress for a handout.
I know what you mean, but this really takes the cake. The record labels now want a handout, and three of the four major labels are located overseas.
And they want Congress to take the money from local radio stations. You know, the only thing that keeps me sane during my 45-minute commute.
Yeah, the same stations that raise money for charities and hold food drives.
The labels actually want Congress to take money out of our community and send it to foreign-owned companies. That just doesn't make sense. I'm going to call our representative right now.
Record labels want Congress to charge local radio a performance tax to play their music. Call Congress at 202-224-3121 and tell your representative to oppose a performance tax on local radio. Learn more at noperformancetax.org. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
1 mile or 100, how far can you go?
The Hotter in Hell 100 in Wichita Falls.
The largest one-day bike ride in the world.
August 29th in Wichita Falls, Texas.
People from all over the world test themselves in the Texas heat.
Check it out. HH100.org.
Hi, I'm Pete Hornless, host of Race Talk, the motorsports talk show, and we're moving to high noon on Saturdays right here on CNN 1190. NASCAR, NHRA, IndyCar Series, we cover it all every Saturday at high noon. Also, we bring you up to speed on all the local racing action going on right here in the Metroplex. So for your motorsports fix, join us at high noon every Saturday for Race Talk right here on CNN 1190. And remember, keep your racing on the track, not on the street.
You're listening to Energize Green with Andrea Rideout and Dan the Solar Man Lipinski. Brought to you by Elliott's Hardware, right here on CNN 1190.
Welcome back to Energize Green. Boy, are we having fun today talking about organics and all kinds of things, gardening green, and organics again.
And it was so great to have Dr. Deb on.
Oh, isn't she fun?
She's a hoot. And, you know, we were struggling a little bit with her cell phone. She is out in the country talking on a cell phone, and I could even hear a train in the background. So I can just imagine she's down there in
Clifton,
Texas.
I love it, though. But still, that's a bit, you're going to be out in the country. I'm from country. I'm a country boy myself.
You are. So, and I have a little farm myself, so I love it. And speaking of country and gardening and all things green, our next guest is John Thomas, better known as Tropical John, and he is a crazy organic gardener. He is down here in Texas at Southland Supply. They're a distributor for organic products, and he also runs his own place called Tropical John's Garden Therapy. Tropical John, welcome to Energize Green.
Well, thank you very much, and crazy is a key word. I've got myself so spread thin between spreading the organic word throughout Texas and working on distributing organic products. So I've got a little half-acre garden that I dabble in as well that takes up a lot of time, and it's just getting started. We're very excited about what we're doing with it, and it is probably the nastiest black clay soil I've ever worked in
my life. We were just talking about that during our break, and we may address that later, but we want to talk to you today a little bit about composting, because all of our listeners are getting into composting, and my mom is absolutely going nutty with composting. Dan, you're going into the composting thing, so we're all having lots and lots of questions for you. What do you think? Are you ready?
Absolutely. You know, compost is our lifeblood of the soil, so.
That's right. And we've got listeners today from coast to coast who are tuning in to hear your thoughts on composting. But let's start with the basics. Dan, what's the very first question that comes to mind?
What is composting?
Well, you know, that anything that was living that then dies will break down and return to the earth as compost.
Including us, so, huh?
Including us, you know, that is
Soylent
no doubt,
Green, though. It's people.
Now you know why we say crazy.
You know, Malcolm Beck, the founder of Gardenville, talked about instead of being buried, he just wanted to be composted.
That's so. Right.
I kind of like that idea.
Plant me at the base of the old oak tree.
So it can really be a little bit of everything. Your kitchen scraps, like Dr. Deb said, old phone books, newspaper, just about anything that used to be alive. If it was a tree and made into paper, you can compost it.
But you know where you do get the old phone books? You want to actually tear the pages out. I realize this is a lot of work, but if you don't, then it takes them a long time to break down.
That's true.
Well, you know, with the onset of the shredders, you'll shred that stuff up, then it breaks down even quicker. I get in trouble just about every morning because when I take off my coffee and coffee filters, I walk out the front door and throw it underneath my gardenia.
Yeah. And
it's great.
And that's actually a good point because coffee grounds can be used straight on your plants. You don't even have to compost.
Gives them a caffeine high.
That's right.
That's it. And, you know, coffee filters are very lightweight and they break down very quickly as well.
They sure do. Okay, so we know what compost is. Why should we bother composting?
Well, again, that's the cheapest way. If you want to fertilize your own lawn, if you have a compost pile at your house or you're buying compost, that's nature's own fertilizer. I did a talk with some third graders this last year and was trying to explain to them what organic fertilizer was when I looked across out the window across the street, and there was just a trees and a vacant field, and I asked them what took care of that. And, you know, compost are all the leaves and debris that fall down, and you know, no one goes out and fertilizes Mother Nature except Mother Nature.
That's right. So. And so if we want to make our own compost, what are some of the first steps we need to go through here?
Well, it's very simple. It's as easy as making a pile in your backyard. If you'd like to contain it, that certainly helps in a little 4x4 area. Anything that you get out of the yard, your yard waste, grass clippings, leaves, can be put into the compost pile. Any of the debris that is inside from your house from eggshells and coffee grounds and
eggshells,
peels, all that needs to go into your compost pile.
Now, that's one thing that I didn't put into ours. Why?
Oh, you bet.
Eggshells break down.
They crush them up, put them into the compost pile. Everything's going to break down. It's an amazing thing. When you've got a very active compost pile, it's going to generate a little heat, and it's going to break things down very quickly. We don't have a problem. I don't have a problem putting animal waste into the compost pile, and it breaks down very quickly as well. Food scraps, you got to be a little bit more careful with, because if you have You know, critters, you don't want to attract critters in the neighborhood.
Right.
If your compost pile is not really active, then it won't break down quickly. But, yeah, just anything that was alive can be composted.
Even meat?
Oh, absolutely. There's not a problem. Again, the drawback to that is you need to bury it into the compost pile. When you get into the center of your compost pile, you're going to generate about 140 to 150 degrees, which is ideal. Too hot, and you're killing the microbes. Too cold, you're not killing the pathogens in there. So you want a good active compost pile. And we actually achieve that by adding sugars like dry molasses or liquid molasses that feeds and stimulates the microbes, gets them fired up, gets that compost pile working, and you can put anything you would like in there.
So how do you determine if it's too hot or too cold?
Well, without an actual probe and a thermometer to get in there, you really don't know. Obviously, if you get into a compost pile and you turn it a lot of times in cooler areas, it'll begin to steam a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can get a feel by the just touching of it, you know, get in there and kind of turn
warm.
It over.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you'll feel the warmth in there, but a soil thermometer is certainly, if you're really into composting and you want to make sure that the weed seeds and the pathogens have died, then you need to get a soil thermometer and monitor the temperature of your compost pile.
And I got a question for you. I hear a lot about greens and browns. What's the difference? And I know we've only got a minute before we go to break, so maybe if you can address maybe one of those colors first.
It's real simple. Greens are all your fresh leafy materials like grass clippings, things like that. Your brown materials will be things like wood chips and sawdust and things that are more woody in nature, and you need a fairly nice balance in there. Actually, the greens in there add some moisture and will help that compost pile work a little bit faster.
Okay, so you want close to a 50-50 blend, though.
Yeah, you want to, and actually, you're going to ask probably about the carbon-nitrogen ratio, a 30 to 1. You know, leaves, fallen leaves have a 30 to 1 ratio, and that varies with moisture. So probably a little bit more carbon, the brown stuff, and I'd say maybe a 25% green and 75% brown.
Okay, I tell you what, I'm getting a little bit confused, and I know we've got to go to a break. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this carbon and nitrogen ratio.
Okie doke.
All right, we're Energized Green, and we'll be right back with Andrea and Dan and our special guest, Tropical John.
CNN 1190 wants to hook you up. Log on to CNN1190.com and score yourself a $50 gift certificate to Magic Time Machine for only $25. It's the CNN Half Price Hookup only at CNN1190.com. Half Price Hookups go fast, so log on now.
Want to save some money on your next energy bill? Why not start at the top with a new Cool Roof from Classic Super Roof? A Cool Roof protects your home from the top on down with a built-in radiant barrier that reflects the sun's heat to keep your home more comfortable all year long. You might also save some bucks on your homeowner's insurance because Super Roofs are super tough.
Hi, this is Andrea Rideout from Energized Green. Classic Super Roof has been installing Cool Roofs for folks across North Texas for over a decade. Super Roof's volume buying power helps them save you money without sacrificing quality. So save some dough and keep your cool with a Cool Roof from Classic Super Roof, just like I did on my own home.
Call Classic Super Roof today at Metro 817-268-1500. That's 817-268-1500. Or visit superroof.com. That's Super Roof with one R. Super Roof is the home of Texas Superdog. Woof!
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Matthew, you know energy-saving light bulbs last 6 times longer than that old bulb in your lamp.
Yeah, well, I don't even live here.
Matthew, dinner's ready.
I never met that woman.
It's your favorite, Matt. Lasagna.
Ugh, don't you people knock?
Just give me the energy saver.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
Thousands of North Texans are hungry today. Children whose parents are struggling to keep them fed. Seniors whose medical bills wipe out their food budgets. Or working professionals swept up in the latest round of layoffs. These are tough times for North Texans, but you can help. A $1 donation to the North Texas Food Bank can feed 4 hungry people. Maybe even someone in your neighborhood. So help someone today. Go online and search North Texas Food Bank.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is CNN 1190.
You're listening to Energize Green with Andrea Rideout and Dan the Solar Man Lipinski, right here on CNN 1190.
Welcome back to Energize Green. I'm Andrea Rideout, and I've got
Dan Lipinski, and we're talking about composting with Tropical John.
Tropical John.
I am, you know, we were just commenting during the break. I love doing this show because every time I come on, I learn something as well. I'm sitting here learning about something that I've done for years, composting, and I'm still a student. And John has got some of the answers that I have always wanted. I was always told you don't put meat into a compost pile.
Well, and Dr. Deb, who was on the show earlier, she said she actually does put meat, but she said you have to be a little bit careful about it.
But anything that was what we call in our home a plant, anything that came out of the garden, if it was alive in the ground first and it can go back into the ground, you don't have a problem with that. Generally speaking, we've kind of shied away from the meats a little bit. They tend to attract some of the critters that you don't want, particularly if you live like I did out in the country for years.
Oh, yeah.
The animals find it even if you bury it, and then they dig it up. So we tend to stay with the composting as far as just the garden type scraps. Anything that came from the ground originally went back to the ground.
Well, good point. John,
that's a safe thing to do, too. You know, if you've got a home compost pile and, you know, it's you're probably a little better off staying away from the meat scraps. I mean,
just for safety's sake.
Compost pile, it's not a problem.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about carbon nitrogen. I am just totally lost.
What is that?
Well, the carbon nitrogen ratio, you want ideally a 30-to-1 ratio, which is carbon to nitrogen. Nitrogen is found in most living plants. You know, it's a very it's a soluble product that dissipates quickly. So you don't need a lot of nitrogen. You know, in the past, the chemical way of doing it, everyone said throwing more nitrogen into your compost pile and fire it up. But what we do know is that dry molasses, things like humate, are more of a carbon product, and that actually feeds and stimulates the microbes and gets things working a little faster. Again, we talked about just your basic yard waste. Fallen leaves have a 30-to-1 carbon to nitrogen ratio, and that varies with moisture. The wetter it is, the carbon count goes a bit down. So it's not a critical thing that you have to do. Again, in my large compost piles that I have at my garden, I have a friend that brings me out wood chips.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing within 2 to 3 weeks, and sometimes less than that, that you can turn into that compost and see the beneficial fungi, the little white strands that are already going to work.
Oh, those are good?
That is absolutely the little white strands that you see in your mulch in your garden.
Yeah, I always worried about that. Compost. I always thought, oh, dear, it's moldy.
That is Mother Nature working her magic.
Oh, okay.
So that's exactly what you want to see. And you want to keep your compost piles evenly moist, not saturated, but just lightly moist over the top, and that will help speed up the process. You were talking about how can we get this thing moving quicker and keep
How do you speed it along? We want the McDonald's solution here
Composting. Fast food, please.
Yeah, fast food. Compost.
Well, compost all that nasty McDonald's stuff in your compost pile first. But
it might go a little faster.
On a regular basis, turning them over. There's
okay.
compost bins that you can, some wire bins that you can actually flip over and turn into the compost bin itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's the tumblers that work it up.
Mm-hmm.
Adding the dried molasses or liquid molasses, the sugars, really fires it up and gets it moving quicker. If you leave the pile just sitting there, it's going to take longer.
And
ideally, you want to turn it, and the more you can turn it, if you do that once or twice a week, generally once a week is adequate,
okay. And
you will speed that process up immensely.
Okay, we've got 1 minute left, and I have a very important question. This is from my mom, Fran McEwen, who lives down here in Dallas. She wants to know, what do you do about odor in your compost pile? We got maybe 30 seconds.
All right, if your compost pile is working correctly, you will not have an odor. She probably needs to add more of the brown material to it, and if it's staying too damp, it's going to generate a little bit of odor to it, so add the dry molasses, liquid molasses, turn it a little bit, and add more brown material.
And when you're saying molasses, can she just use the Brer Rabbit molasses like you buy at the
Absolutely.
Grocery store?
Absolutely. That will work just fine.
Okay, terrific. Tropical John, thanks for being with us. Where can folks find out more about you?
You can go to tropicaljohnsgardens.com. That's my website. I'm also blogging for Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, at dirtdoctor.com, and I'm on with him on Sunday mornings on his radio show as well. So
fantastic.
Dirtdoctor.com, tropicaljohnsgardens.com.
All right, Tropical John, thanks for being with us. We'll have you back again soon, okay?
Excellent. I appreciate the time.
You bet. And we are going to come back with more Energized Green in just a moment. Our friend Melissa Schultz is going to be giving us her green thoughts for the week. So we'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
Got a job, or at least a job you like? If not, log on to CNN1190.com and check out the virtual job fair. CNN 1190 is now your best source to finding a new career. Log on to CNN1190.com. Keyword, job fair.
Classic Super Roof, Roofs of Steel, has been in business since 1992. Don't allow the Texas weather to get the best of you. Protect your home with a metal roof and not like your granddad's. Get a Girard stone-coated steel roof that looks like thick cedar shakes or ceramic clay tiles. You can also have that Austin Hill Country look with their standing seam Mueller roofing panels. Call today or visit the website at superroof.com. There's a super roof near you weathering the Texas storms.
Every 10 minutes, somebody dies from leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. In fact, leukemia causes more deaths than any other cancer among children and young adults under the age of 20. But the fight against blood cancer is not hopeless. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is leading the way to find cures for these deadly diseases with the world's oldest and largest charity sports program, Team in Training. Team in Training's expert coaches will get you ready for a marathon or a half marathon, a triathlon, a 100-mile bike ride, or a hike adventure. You'll make lasting friendships with your teammates, and the money you raise as you train will go to research for new treatments and cures for blood cancer. More than 380,000 people have helped save lives with Team in Training. No experience is necessary. All fitness levels are welcome. To learn more about events in your area, go to teamintraining.org. This public service announcement has been brought to you by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and this radio station.
I'm Simon Cowell for PETA. Far be it from me to be critical, but I find it really appalling that this year thousands of dogs will die of heat stroke inside parked cars. There, people thought that that little errand would only take a minute, or it wasn't that hot. But delays happen, and temperatures inside a car quickly rise in summer, even when the window's cracked. Never, ever leave your dog inside a parked car. Your dog idolizes you. In warm weather, keep him safe at home.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
Hi, this is Andrea Rideout, and I wanted to tell you about a fantastic deal going on right now at Elliott's Hardware. Through a special purchase, Elliott's is offering Energy Star rated compact fluorescent light bulbs at the incredible price of 99 cents. Don't settle for cheap imitations. These are premium grade UL approved CFLs with an average life of 10,000 hours. They'll cast a soft, warm white light all over your home. Choose from a 13 watt or a hefty 23 watt and save from just under $50 to over $75 over the life of the bulb when compared to an old-fashioned incandescent. At just 99 cents each, they're an incredible deal, but only while supplies last. So hurry into Elliott's and get some today. That's Elliott's Hardware at Maple and Medical District Drive in Dallas, Coit and Park in Plano, or Kearney and East Galloway in Mesquite. 99 cent compact fluorescent light bulbs. Wow, that's energizing. Elliott's Hardware, making hardware easy. And now Elliott's is your store for going green.
The recent apartment fires here in North Texas have left hundreds without a home and have depleted Red Cross resources. Now the Red Cross is appealing to North Texans for their help so that they can continue to help those in need here in our area. Donate at redcrossdallas.org.
Start your day. CNN 1190 AM Headline News with all the top news and business stories. Plus, Nancy Grace Live.
We just heard from Ricky Kleeman about people surrounding her. Okay. I'd like to finish.
And Showbiz Tonight. Stay informed and in tune with the world of news, business, sports, and entertainment with CNN 1190 Headline News.
You're listening to Energize Green with Andrea Rideout and Dan the Solar Man Lipinski. Brought to you by Elliott's Hardware, right here on CNN 1190.
Welcome back to Energize Green. Dallas-based writer Melissa Schultz will be joining us bi-weekly for her essay segment we call Green Thoughts. You can find the essays on our website, energizegreen.com, after each show. Melissa joins us today for Green Thoughts segment with commentary about what it means to be green and a nod to Kermit the Frog.
Back in the day, when green was still just a primary color, the only image that came to mind was a traffic light. Sometimes we use the word green to make a point about being envious or to describe how someone looks after a ride on a roller coaster with a belly full of popcorn, cotton candy, and soda pop. As a kid, I grew up hearing Johnny Carson say his guests were waiting in the green room, a mysterious sort of place I envisioned as having ivy-colored walls and smelling like fresh-cut grass. Today, the term green is synonymous with energy efficiency. The concept of going green and green marketing is nothing new. It's been around since the 70s. But recently, I've noticed a surge in products labeled as being green, so much so that green appears to have become the spokescolor of our time. In a single word, the color conveys growth, good health, prosperity, and tranquility. Everything we want in our lives. Still, like its friends, red, yellow, and blue, there are many variations in hue, and green can get murky, especially for the consumer faced with volumes of products to choose from, all promising to be greener than the next. These days, a trip to the grocery store requires more than just money. It requires multiple degrees in science and linguistics. But even then, you might not come home with what you think you did. Last week, everything I touched at the supermarket seemed to have either literally turned green or was packaged to look green, sometimes with subtle images added, such as trees or light bulbs, or with words like eco-friendly, all-natural, pesticide-free, or free and clear on the label. And I found myself asking exactly how green is green. I also noticed that my conscience impacted the bulk of my decision-making, and no longer because of the nutrition label and the amount of fat and calories involved. But sometimes it's not just the labels that are confusing, it's the store that sells them. How they walk the walk, as they say, not just talk the talk. Just recently, at a local market, where advertising encouraged me to buy local produce to do the right thing and reduce my carbon footprint, I bought a healthy lunch of brown rice and veggies to eat in their cafe. Since the food needed to be heated, I was pointed in the direction of two self-serve microwaves, but cautioned before I heated it to transfer the food from the clear plastic containers it was packed in to the plates stacked nearby. When the plates turned out to be plastic as well, and there was no place to recycle either of them, only a single regular trash can stuffed to the brim with discarded plastic, I was admittedly puzzled on a number of levels. Why not eliminate a step for those dining in and use plates that are microwavable to begin with, or washable plates? And what about the nagging sense that if they're not recycling in the cafe where the customer notices it most, what are they doing to be green behind the scenes where the customer can't see? Green is as green does, after all. Why not take a holistic view for the end use of the product, either on the part of the manufacturer or retailer? Perhaps Kermit the Muppet was way ahead of his time when he said, "It's not easy being green. Until it gets easier, and it will, I'll keep reading, scrutinizing labels, listening to Andrea and Dan on Energize Green, and when faced with more choices than eeny, meeny, miny, mo, will draw strength from a line I heard years ago when I was about to give birth to my first child. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy."
Well, that's for sure. I'll tell you, all this green stuff is confusing, even me.
Even me, too. There's too much of it. You almost get green weary.
You get green weary. But I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying it. I don't know. I do have a lot of fun, actually, delving into all this stuff. And I think we're going to have even more fun next week. What do you think, Dan?
I'm looking forward to it. I learn something every week, even when I do the show.
I agree. And we'll see you right here next week on Energize Green.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.